3, 2, 1. There you go. Okay, call to order the February meeting of the Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. The first item on the agenda is the swearing in of our new member.
So, do you want to raise your right hand and repeat after me? Aye, and say your name. Aye, Linda Newton. Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and maintain.
That I will support and maintain.
The Constitution and laws of the United States.
The Constitution and laws of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
And the Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
Not inconsistent therewith.
Not inconsistent therewith.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
As a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
As a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
For the town of Curie Beach.
For the town of Curie Beach.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. The throne is here, so. Again, we want to welcome our new member, Aretha. So, again, it's exciting. Next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay.
Figure it out.
Flip a coin there. All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nope. Next is the approval of the minutes, and we have two different minutes we're going to have to approve. Let's go ahead and look at the regular meeting minutes first, so we'll go ahead and do that one. So if anybody wants to take a little bit of time and look through the regular meeting minutes from January, or from, is this December?
That was January
December.
10th.
January 10th, that's what I thought. I saw December there.
Were these minutes typed from the recording that we have?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Because there are a few things like the word tide instead of ride and things like that, but that's not significant.
You can submit your changes.
I mean, you can always recommend changes, I mean, if you want to. Anything substantial.
Motion to accept.
Is there a second?
Second.
Nope. Oh, I'll let Aretha have that one. Okay.
Yeah,
all right, there you go.
The
first second. All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. The next item is the minutes from our closed session. So I want to just take a minute, if you haven't already, and look at that. And is there a motion to approve the minutes from the closed session? Okay, so moved.
So moved.
Second. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, very good. So let me...
You want to fight it now, Kathleen?
Let me just separate the minutes from. Okay, next item on the agenda is public comments. Do we have anybody in the audience who'd like to make a comment or present anything to the commission?
It's under new. That's under new business.
Yes, right. But this is just general public comments. Okay, hearing none, we are on old business. Old business is the town council has scheduled a public hearing on February 20th for the purpose of hearing the public comments on the proposed text amendments and consistency statement approved and recommended by the council by P&Z at the November 1st, 2017 meeting. So I think that's more informative than anything. I don't think there's any action we have to take on that. Okay. We're moving along here. Item number 7, new business, election of officers. Again, this is our time to elect officers and so forth. We have a chairman and a vice chairman that need to be elected. I've been vice chairman. I'd be willing to serve as the chairman unless anybody else wants to do that.
So moved.
Okay. All right. All in favor, say aye. Okay. Formal nomination?
Nominate Craig to be chairman.
Second?
So moved again.
Okay, so moved. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next would be vice chairman, who serves when the chairman is not here. Any nominations?
I nominate Mr. Moore for that position.
Is that okay? I'll second that. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. I think those are the only offices we have, chairman and vice chairman, right? Okay, next item, which is a new business, is the request for text amendment regarding rear yard setbacks for accessory buildings. John, do you want to start this, or?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
In past summer, I noticed construction of a storage shed occurring at 434 South 4th Avenue. They did not have a permit for the shed, and it was non-compliant as far as the setbacks are concerned. I asked the gentleman doing the work to come in and apply for a permit, and also told him that it was in the wrong location. He said that he would move it. Later on, he asked about possibly applying for a tax amendment and not having to move it. Long story short, nothing was done. I never came back out for a final inspection, and so I pursued it via certified mail to the property owner, explaining the violation and what needed to happen. And they came into the office and asked to apply for a text amendment, and so here we are.
Okay. Attorney Eldred, do you have anything to add to this at all, or?
No, sir.
At this time?
The inspector can summarize the application. I believe the applicant is here as well.
Okay, all right. If it's okay with the commission, we could hear from the applicant. Okay? All right, sure.
This is our shed. And then take one of these and pass them down. There's a whole packet here. So, I'm Linda Brett-Kell, and I live at 434 South 4th Avenue with my beloved Bruce Kell. And we moved into this property. We previously owned this property as an investment. We lived in Florida. We decided to downsize. I don't know if any of y'all have ever done that, but it's mind-blowing. So, we hired a contractor to do this work. I was unaware until much later in the deal before I ever met John, that, you know, we weren't in compliance. And our lots are so incredibly small here, most of them, and we do not have a garage. I am a realtor, and I do know the pictures you see are of other sheds, not nearly as cute as ours, by the way, that I know are on the property line. There's one, my neighbor. It doesn't bother me. The first page you have, this is my neighbor. He's 2 feet from that fence. None of my neighbors have complained. In fact, my neighbor on the right, who's only 6 feet off, he said, Linda, if you can get this changed, and he wants to build a new shed and do something else. But anyway, I guess my point is, when I tried to clarify why, because I think John did explain to me that it used to be 5 feet, and then nobody can answer to me why they moved it to 10 feet. If you notice on my picture of my shed, if we are forced to move this 5 feet, this is my HVAC system right there. So there's going to be, and then my bedroom window, by the way, is right there too, above that. So this basically is going to be sitting in the middle of the yard, which, as a realtor, I will tell you, would devalue my property. If I was going to sell this property, because I hear what people want, and they come, oh my God, the backyard's ruined because you've got this building sitting right in the middle of the yard. So I would appreciate, because no one seemed to know why it was moved. It's going to be a chore to move. This is a stick-built, over $6,000, nice storage shed. And I know the builder, I guess, could. There's no room on either side of my lot, either right or left, that you could even bring in like a fourplex or something. I mean, I have no idea how this building would be moved. So I'm just asking you to change that amendment back. Is it called an amendment? I'm sorry.
You are seeking to amend the code.
The code, yes.
The setback.
The setback, and move it back to what it had been, whatever, I don't know how long ago in the past, to 5 feet. Due to the fact that our lots are extremely small, and due to the fact that if you drive around, some of my pictures aren't so good because, you know, people don't like some stranger creeping up in their yard and taking pictures. Some of them I shot out of my car window. But anyway, all over Curie Beach, you're going to find sheds. And you have a picture of one that's not even, it's just kind of sitting on the lot. It's on 7th Street, and you drive by and see it, and it's not bolted down. It's, in fact, it's not aesthetically, it looks terrible. But anyway, we have a nice shed. I like to call it Bruce's little man cave. And none of my neighbors have complained about it, and many other people already are 5 feet or less from their property line. So I'm just asking that you amend it to go back to the way it had been in the past. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
The question, I mean, yours is built on some sort of a foundation. It's built foundation. And of the pictures that you've showed us, are those kind of portable? I mean, some of them look like skids that you can go ahead and slide them around.
Some of them are. The one that's directly across us, there's a vacant lot in front of me, and the one that's across the street from me. Now, this is a huge building. Now, this guy that's 2 feet off, that's a big garage with a widow's walk on top of it for viewing the ocean, because we can hear the ocean from my porch, but I can't see it, but he could see it if he climbed up there. So he's very, it's a very nice building. But let's see, page. Oh, and I thought this was interesting. The reason you had this, it was kind of an afterthought. If you'll notice, this house next to this pine gadot, it's like 2 feet, it's that. From the condo's fence. This one on page 4, that has the logs, because these people have a fire pit frequently out behind that. He's right on the line, and that looks to me like it was built. It has a floor and all that. Mine is hurricane proof. It's you know, got the straps on it. It was built very well. Why the gentleman that did the building didn't check. I know he did later, if I'm not mistaken, Don, get a permit.
Yes, ma'am,
he
did. Yeah. I haven't done any inspections on
it. I know.
Yeah.
So why he didn't do that, I have no idea. He was, you know, recommended to me. He did a fantastic job, and we were happy with what we got. And we would just love for it to stay where it is and not be moved 5 feet in the middle of our tiny little backyard.
John, I just have, as I look through these pictures, I see 5 feet, 6 feet, 2 feet, and so forth. How did we end up with so many of the neighbors?
They're all over. She's got three that are surrounding her. They've probably been there for 30 plus years.
So they just put them up without permits, basically.
Yeah, the one she referenced on 7th Avenue, that just showed up about 2 months ago. I haven't been dealing with
it. It's
that
been
much.
Sitting there, haven't it?
Yeah.
My neighbor to the left, Paul's, I'll show you his. He has like a big, like this is, okay. On page 2, this is Paul's, and ours is, you know, sitting. Ours is right in line with his, and his is about, but his is like as big as almost, would you say a 2-car garage? Or?
It's not quite that big.
But that's bigger than a 1-car, probably.
That's probably a big ass.
It just looks bigger because it's got that little barn.
The game on the roof, yeah.
These are all in the RA2 district, is that?
I haven't seen those pictures.
This is also, they told me just 5 feet.
It's an extra
one. This one on page 2 with the fence. Now, this is our yard here. And the reason I took that, my neighbor, he's 6 feet from the property line. But if you'll look down, you can tell the other people You know, I mean, I just didn't go creeping around people's backyards. I was careful about it.
Answer your question, though, these kind of violations are in all districts, except for some of the newer neighborhoods where their HOAs control things.
Were some of them grandfathered in, or they, or they've always, or don't?
They're definitely grandfathered in, because page 5, for instance, you can tell that thing's...
That's 30 years old, yeah.
But the major reason for setbacks is the safety issue.
Same way with page 4. Page 3, that's the one that Kel referenced on 7th Avenue. It just showed up, as I said, a couple of weeks ago. I'm dealing with that right now. Page 2, evidently those are older to me also.
My next door neighbor on the right, they're not old as in the terms of 20 years. I'd say they've been in their house less than 10 years, 6 to 8 years.
Is it
a gentleman on the left, but the couple on the right.
Is it true that it was originally 5 feet and we then changed it to 10 feet?
I'm not sure. I remember telling us, Cal, that the ordinance appeared to have been changed in 2003. Okay. And I don't know what it was changed from. I have to tell you, this is a constant conversation I have with property owners every single day. Mm-hmm. I've got another property owner that was wanting to come in when I told her about this text amendment. She's wanting to do a swimming pool.
And that comes to my... Another question is this is for accessory buildings. And what all is included in the definition of accessory buildings?
Everything but a principal structure, pretty much.
So this would be for swimming pools or anything, not just tool sheds, but pergolas and all the other stuff we've talked about. Are there any questions?
Like I said, the reason for the setbacks were primarily for safety reasons, right?
Safety of who?
Well, to make sure emergency vehicles can get... In between buildings.
There's no way. I live across the street from a fireman, and there's no way any kind of.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying
you can't even get a golf cart.
First of all, I'm just saying that's what the
original.
That's what setbacks are there for.
Yeah.
And so that's one reason they're so sensitive, and that we just don't, you know, because changing one and change, you know, you're not. This is just a text amendment for her. She's asking for a text amendment for everything, right?
This
is not a variance.
This isn't a variance, and that would be tough to,
The definition of a setback is the distance required to obtain the front, side, and rear yard open space provisions in order to provide for runoff control, health, safety, firefighting, free flow of air, and adequate off-street parking.
Right, we've been,
But in most cases, if you drive around and look in the, older part of Curry Beach, not Beach Walk, not Curry Beach Village, just regular houses. Most of them, a fire truck couldn't get to it anyway, and we have no problem with runoff. You know, it's not an issue. And I just feel like it is not going to, it will definitely in a very negative way affect the value of my property.
We got a question for the attorney, and I've always struggled with the word grandfathering. It from a philosophical point of view, but also from a legal point of view, when we talk about things that have been in there and they haven't gotten permits for it, and they've just been put in there without a permit. Right. Legally non-conforming, yes.
Which is okay, and I just never understood that combination. Chairman, let me say a few things. Number one, to answer your question, a grandfathered use, which is the same thing that our code calls a legally non-conforming use, is a use that has been in place before the ordinance was adopted or before a pertinent provision of the ordinance was amended. Mm-hmm. And it basically protects that use because it was there before it was regulated. But there's all sorts of conditions about expand. You can't, it has to stay what it is. You can't expand it, change it, et cetera, et cetera.
But my understanding of legally non-conforming or grandfathering, there actually has to be an action by the council or somebody to make it grandfathered. That just because it was prior to an ordinance doesn't automatically. I mean, you can amortize something, for example, signs and things like that are regularly, you know.
It's my understanding, not in North Carolina, that there's no formal local government action required to make it a non-conforming use. It's a use that existed before that use was regulated.
Okay. So if we had a regulated use and then somebody put it in without the permit, again, I'm looking at some of these pictures. Some obviously are very old, and I might see where they might have been put in prior to an ordinance being in place regarding setbacks, but that'd be kind of hard. I think there's probably been setbacks for a long time here in Kiri Beach. But if some have been put in after the setbacks have been put in place, that would take an action in order to grandfather it, basically, to make it legally non-conforming.
I don't think it could ever be grandfathered because it's in violation of the regulation. I think
that existed at the time.
I think John's approach to this thing is technically, legally very correct. With your permission, I would make some comments.
Sure.
If it's grandfathered, it's protected. And it's only grandfathered if it came into existence before it was regulated. If it was regulated and came into existence and didn't comply, it's in violation. That's my first point. And government action is not required on either end to determine whether it's in violation or grandfathered. It's a question of time. And if it's in violation, it can be enforced as John implemented via a notice of violation. So that's my first point. My second point is the applicant has approached this as by proposing a text amendment to setbacks. And therefore, the applicant's proposed text amendments affects everything in RA2. It's not just her property. The third point is the points that the applicant makes about property values and other instances of non-compliance and the other negative factors she listed with respect to complying with the ordinance as it's currently written are valid, reasonable, and I'm sure sincere, but they don't really have anything to do with this. That's more appropriate for a variance consideration. Those are more quasi-judicial considerations. One approach, so if you take the current application, you have to analyze it with respect to making that change throughout the district with respect to the role that setbacks play, which we all know pretty well because we spent the last 2 months rewriting that whole chapter, not with respect to measurements, mostly setbacks. But it was good exercise because it's very much on their mind. You take all that and compare it to a different text amendment approach where somebody comes in and seeks to amend the code with respect to the location of an accessory building and make it more like a fence with respect to the property line and not the setback. That's a whole different idea that may get you to the same place that she wants to go, which doesn't affect. Well, I guess it would. I guess it's the same consideration.
Yeah, I didn't quite follow that last.
Well, you can put process. You don't locate a fence based on a setback. You locate a fence based on a property line. I don't know if locating an accessory building based on a property line satisfies the applicant or if it doesn't create the same problems we're considering with a setback approach.
Okay.
That's good. Ma'am. The other thing I would say is the accessory building is defined in the code as a building. When you go over to the building definition, it is rather broad, but it has to have four walls, so a pergola is not a building. But it is broad enough to consider for you to consider the impact of that broad definition with respect to what the applicant is looking for.
Well, one other question, because you mentioned the word variance. Variance obviously deals with a specific application. I can't remember a lot of variances that we have given, but is the variance a possibility for this particular situation?
She has to meet an applicant seeking a variance in this fact pattern, or any applicant seeking a variance has to prove four different things. I probably won't remember them off the top of my head, but the crux of the matter is this, that literal compliance, that there is a condition on the property that is not the result of the applicant's own action. And by the way, buying property with a condition on that is not the result of the applicant's own actions. That's safeguarded. But it's a condition on the property that is not the result, a unique condition on the property that is not the result of the applicant's actions that produces a hardship such that literal compliance with the ordinance would result in injury, damages, whatever to her versus corresponding property. And that's a quasi-judicial situation, meaning the applicant would have to prove all four of those things with material, competence, substantial evidence, that the board makes findings of fact based on the evidence and either grants the variance or not, and it's all open to judicial review. And of course, that's a board of adjustment proceeding.
Okay, I'll say something. Sure. So the reason that I'm here and did what I did is because this is what I was told. When I said, well, what can we do about this? When I had a meeting with John. And he said, well, this is what I would suggest. You know, I don't know, you know, we're new here, and I don't know all that. I usually tell people when they're unhappy with the situation, what did you learn from this, and what would you do differently? So maybe before I bought the house, I could have gone to plan, you know, I could have gone, but you don't think of that. You know, I just, I did want to build, did have my realtor, because I used, acted as my own realtor to buy it and used a seller's agent to find out if we could do something in the driveway that we wanted to do, and we were told no. But, you know, it was not that we tried to get all of our stuff from the huge house into this little house that I think, oh my gosh, we need a storage building. So that's what we had done. So, yes, if I have clients building houses, but having something on the little lot, they want to build a storage building, now I know. But I'm just asking, this is, I don't know that we're in danger, but it has caused us a lot of emotional grief and worry and struggle and the expense that's going to be involved in probably having this thing moved. And then the fact that if it is, it's going to literally, this would be our HVAC system, and if that is moved, it's going to be right here. So when that has to be moved or work has to be done, then, you know, there's not a lot of space, and aesthetically it'll look horrible. So if I have to go another route, you know, like you said, maybe there's if it doesn't work this way, you know, I could go another way. But I, as John mentioned too, he has so many people that want, because our lots are small, that want to, you know, build something in the backyard, and a 5 foot variance makes more sense in the area than the 10 foot. 10 feet is a lot of space.
Just out of curiosity, yes. Why didn't you build your storage or tool shed attached to your house?
It's not attached.
No, I said, why didn't you? And would, you know, this is a standalone thing. I mean, you could have built a kind of an extension from the house and just kind of attached this to the house and not.
I don't know how we would have done it. It's a brick house.
It's a brick house, okay.
The bedrooms are in the back. I would have had to. That would have probably cost me $50,000 to extend the hallway in the house.
And no. I'm just saying, just move it right up, flush against the house, basically. So.
But how would we enter it?
From the door in the front.
But how would I get out of the house to enter it? You have to come over and see the house. There's no way. John, you've seen the house.
Yeah, I think logistics would have prohibited that. Okay. But she is correct. If she would have added on to the house, it would have been significantly more expensive.
We have an outdoor shower that's on the right-hand side and a fence and like a little stoop to go out the side of the house. Where this would have, I don't know. It would have been many, many thousands of dollars.
And the gentleman did not get a permit?
He has, yeah, he did get a permit. Not initially.
Initially, which you would have found out the variance did at the time.
The shed was pretty much, I'd say 75% complete when I...
Unmovable when he came in for a permit.
It could certainly be moved even in its current state. It's just not really an easy thing to do.
It's not easy.
Are there any further questions before we start our discussion?
I'm looking at this consistency statement, and they are in here, and...
Well, this consistency statement was prepared by you?
No, that's what I'm telling
you. Yeah, for the
okay,
meeting.
Wait, this is...
I prepared that. That's a proposed...
That's a proposal. Okay, prepared by you.
Depending on which way you all go, we may have to tweak it or complete it.
Oh, okay. Oh, I apologize.
Right.
If it's legal.
So your application is here, and you've got proposed text change within that application.
And Chairman, we haven't gone through that. I think for the record, it would be good to go through that.
Okay. Yes, I agree.
Page one of the application, where you have your table up on top, you'll notice that the bottom left hand box and the bottom right hand box are both filled in. In other words, the applicant looks to be seeking to change the text of section 19326, which is the location of accessory buildings on a residential lot. And then the applicant also refers to section 19.3, number 5 of there, which is the rear setback of 10 feet for properties in the RA2 district. And if you turn the page, you'll see that the existing text, when she's dealing with 19.326 here, the existing text provides, with the last half of that, that accessory buildings shall meet the setback requirements of a residence, which is currently 10 feet. The proposed text would have the accessory buildings meeting the setback requirement of 5 feet and be in the rear yard. So if she's seeking to rewrite 326 to establish that an accessory building shall meet the setback requirement of 5 feet, then she's also, by implication, seeking to revise subsection 5 of 19.153 to change the 10-foot requirement in the rear of RA2 properties to 5 feet. So she's seeking both.
She's doing both, yeah.
That's why it has district-wide implications. Basically, she's trying to change the rear setback from 10 to 5 feet throughout RA2 and then revise 326 to locate the accessory building in accordance with that 5-foot rear setback.
I have a question. Did you know when this grandfather thing took place? You think it took place?
Grandfathering occurs. If you built a structure today that was 5 feet and it was allowable under the code, and they come back in tomorrow and change it and say you can't build a structure that's you can't go to 5 feet, you have to be 4 feet, your 5 feet would be grandfathered because you built it before.
Yeah, I understand the rest of it. My question is when, and I think you mentioned 2003.
We don't know for sure when they changed.
Yeah.
We don't know the form.
That's what it looks like. Some part of that ordinance changed in 2003.
So what I'm saying, if this isn't changed, then every building that's been put up since 2003 obviously didn't get grandfathered in.
It's not conforming.
So if you don't decide in my favor, then all those other buildings are out of compliance.
Well, that raises a...
If they look new, and there are some newer ones. So.
That raises a, and I'm going to ask the attorney this legal question too, is that when you have selective enforcement...
In North Carolina, selective enforcement does not establish precedent, pro or con. There are some provisions in some zoning ordinances that ask you to highlight the difference if you go one way versus the way it was done in the past, but there's no stare decisis presidential or binding effect based on how other properties have been treated.
Okay. Well, let's kind of reverse it then in a selective enforcement. Is that if we, because this building's already built, if we enforce this, are we obligated to enforce all the other ones?
No, not necessarily. Well, not legally, no, but from a practical standpoint, that's a whole different can of worms. But there's no. Code enforcement is a discretionary action on the part of the local government, taking into account very many circumstances.
Is there any way to find out why it was changed? Is there any research we can do on that?
I don't think we know for a fact that it was changed.
It was, yeah, it was something that happened on part of the codification. I mean, I can go back to the original ordinances and it would take some time to research it. I have to pull the actual original.
Yeah, because it was changed for a
reason. Just because it passed that date, it doesn't mean that something was changed.
Right.
And you'll see that in a lot, John, as you go through, you'll see a lot.
But we don't know what was changed. We just know that something was changed.
Nothing was changed. There was a mix-up with the vendor that was doing, my understanding, because I wasn't here then, when I heard it, they changed from how they were codifying it and it went electronic or something, and that was the date that they changed everything to, the 2003.
So,
but I can certainly research it.
So we still don't know if it was changed from 5 to 10, or we do know it was changed from 5 to 10.
We don't. Well, it would show that in every zoning district if it was changed to the setback.
I would note that the codification appears to have been adopted in 1987.
The codification, but then we went to an outside vendor to do it in online, digital.
Are there any further questions? And then we'll open up for discussion. Okay. Anybody want to start jumping in?
I'm a little nervous when we change for one incident something for the whole town. That's my first reaction. And number two, I like the, if it was changed, if there was a solid reason for it to be changed, I'd like to know that, because I don't want to change it back and then find out we did something that was researched and looked at and said, no, 5 feet isn't it, it should be 10. So that's my...
One other comment, gentlemen. Yeah. Of course, I know you all know this, but it bears repeating for everybody in the room. You're reviewing and reporting, council will act.
Council will act, right. Right. Are you planning to go with part of the public comment? Did you plan to also make that presentation?
I'll do whatever I have to do. Well, trust me. I'm going to see this, because if this has been very, very stressful to us. And we haven't been able, we really can't hardly use the thing to straighten it up, because we think, well, somebody's going to have to move it. We have no earthly idea how the gentleman who built it's going to move it, because he can't get equipment back there to move it. So I'm going to see this through because I just, so whatever I have to do. Yeah.
I will be. I hope you understand that the way I think the commission look at it, that you're just one out of.
And I understand that, but I'm not just so, one. There are many.
I know.
There
many,
are many.
But
you know, it definitely is,
some of them
will
not
ruin the.
Okay.
My yard, for sure.
Okay. That's
Rita, you want to jump in with your...
I would like to see what Nancy finds in her research to better understand, you know, was there a change from 5 feet or from some number to 10 feet, and what was the driver for that change?
Are you suggesting tabling this matter?
Oh, wait, let's go through the comments first.
Those two, yeah, but that's not, we're not there.
What do you think?
I'm in general agreement not to change something for one that affects everybody. I mean, when we sat down and we worked this code over 2 months, we kind of said that that's 10 feet has a reason. It's for safety. It's for water flow. It's for airflow. Pick an answer. We were there for all of them. And I guess I might entertain if we ever reach the point of variance, but I don't see changing the whole text for one person.
Are you going to go back and make all these other people live?
Well, let's have the conversation up here first. But, you know, that was actually going to be my comment, is I have a bit of a problem. I don't like the change of text. I think that there's a reason we have the 10 feet. I think that it was changed a long time ago. You can find out if it was even changed. But there's a reason that we have these type of setbacks, and we've had numerous discussions about this. The problem I have with this thing is the selective enforcement that maybe from a legal point of view, if it's not a legal issue, it's kind of an emotional issue, I think, where if we're going to enforce it for somebody, shouldn't we enforce it for everybody else who has put it in since it has been 10 feet? And if we're going to enforce it for everybody else, what's the mechanism of enforcing it? There's a lot of cost associated with people moving these things or tearing them down or whatever. So it's a tough one, you know, when we have a whole bunch of them that are non-conforming, and then we don't allow somebody else to be non-conforming at the present time, who's actually coming to the council, the commission, to talk about this rather than just putting it up.
I wanted to say one more thing. You know, the safety and the water flow and all that, I get that. But when you discount that, when you grandfather in the guy that's 2 feet, the guy on the 5 feet that's next to me on the 6, why aren't they, just because they built theirs many years ago or they didn't get permission to build it in the first place, the water's still flowing, they're still safe. You know, I mean, I don't understand why, just because they were there and got their thing grandfathered in, and you're worried about safety and water flow and the things that it was, that 10 feet was supposed to be for, well, they're out of compliance. But it doesn't make sense to me to say, well, yeah, but they were here before we did that.
Well, I'm not sure a lot of these are actually been grandfathered. And personally, I have a problem with the notion of grandfathering, period, just in general. But I'm not even sure, because we're not sure if the text was changed or how many of these are actually grandfathered in prior to a text change or anything like that. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty. I mean, I've always been strict on code enforcement. That's just my history. I would rather see us stick to what we have here as a text and then enforce the ones that are non-conforming. That's personally what I would prefer. We have these ordinances for a reason. We talk about them extensively. You know, hold public hearings on these sort of things. And so, I mean, these are not just kind of numbers that we just kind of throw out. That would be my opinion, is to recommend, not approving this. And then, of course, you always have a right to appeal that, to go to the council and stuff like that, because they have the final decision. But I think if it does go there, I think the council has to be aware that there's a lot of folks out there that are non-conforming that I think that we would have to enforce.
And I want the applicant to understand that the commission's report and recommendation is not binding on council. Council is the one that decides whether to approve or deny your application. This board is providing an advisory function, but it's not necessarily binding.
I understand.
And I guess even if we went to 5, most of these, the pictures I did, most of these would still be out of compliance.
Oh, I assure you. So, I can drive
so,
around
yeah.
the island.
So it,
you
know, oh, no,
I just want, if I'm going to have to obey the rules, I want everybody to obey them.
I'm sure.
And that's a legitimate concern.
Yeah, it is.
Personally.
This is aggravating, and it's expense, and what it's going to do to my property, it makes me sick.
So is there a motion? I mean,
well, we have two things going. Do we want to wait? Do we want to table it until we find out why, if it was changed and why? Or do we just want to walk? Do we just want to say we don't? There's the two options.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Or
I mean, or
we could vote for it one way or the other, too.
That's right.
Certainly.
Do
either
one.
I just have one question. And then, whatever y'all decide, then I go to the council meeting.
Right. I mean, you could always go to the council meeting. I mean, because...
Don't they do a public hearing as well?
There's one on the 19th. On
the 20th.
20th.
So, she'd have to present.
Yeah, she'd have to.
Then we would discuss and then put it...
February the 20th.
February the 20th, and then we'd have a public hearing on it. Right, Nancy? At the March meeting, if we got to that point.
The public hearing would probably be be in the March meeting because of publication requirements.
That's assuming, you're right, that's assuming that you would vote for it. And again, the part of that presentation is that, you know, I think the council's been good at listening to the commission here, and that, you know, that based upon what we would do is that I would present that as well as our discussion and comments, you know, regarding that sort of thing too.
So she would probably want to go to the February meeting as well as the March meeting.
Yeah, I bet you.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So, well,
there'll only be a March meeting if the town decides to go forward and hold the hearing.
Well, there's an application. I don't see how it can
how, how, what is the appropriate motion when we have an application for a request to text amendment?
It's no different than any other proposed text amendment. You entertain a motion to either to recommend to the council that it denies the application or that it approves the application.
Okay. Well, then I'll make a motion, and I understand the concerns of selective enforcement, but I would make a motion to recommend to the council to deny the application.
I'll second.
She's second.
Second. Is there further discussion? Okay. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Now I'd ask the commission members to read through the proposed consistency statement. And if you agree that those are the proper findings with respect to the action you've just taken, then you could entertain a motion to adopt that consistency statement.
As part of the consistency statement, could there also be a reference to my concern about selective enforcement, or was that appropriate in a consistency statement?
The statute allows you to include in your consistency statement matters that you think they ought to consider. So sure, you could put that in.
Yeah.
If the commission wants to do that, we'll need to agree on some language, and I'll have to get a revised copy to Ms. Zielinski.
Could you come up with a sentence right now that we could put in there regarding that so we can move this forward?
Sure, that's what I'm suggesting.
Okay.
So historically, when the whole planning and zoning says no to this, and it goes to the city council, correct?
The town council,
yes.
And
what's the history of that passing when y'all have all...
Oh, it varies. I mean, the town council certainly is made up of individuals. I think they listen to what the commission says. I mean, that's why we're a commission appointed by the town council. But certainly they have disagreed with us in the past. We haven't won them.
I think that's what you need to hear.
Yeah.
We haven't won them.
Yeah, that's right.
So, meanwhile, I'm not going to be fined or anything if it stays put until we have a final say-so about this.
John, that's...
I told you, once you start this process, I was going to stay in enforcement. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, there's your answer on that.
So, we would want... Has everybody read through 1 through 5?
No.
Yes, I have. Go ahead and review 1 through 5, and then we'll talk about paragraph 6 for the chairman's concern.
On paragraph 3 and 4, that's using the same language that you would find in the code in terms of light, air, and separation, and then the public health and safety. That's the same terms and that would be in the code then for setbacks.
I have to go back and check. And I didn't bring my amended. Do we have an amended? Can you find setback requirements, the text amendments that we did.
Well, we just had the setback. Because I think our language should be consistent with the current code.
I have an answer for you in a second.
Okay.
While she's getting that, how would you want to phrase? Sounds like there's a consensus before we get into the motion stage of asking, of advising council of the selective enforcement issue? Is there a recognition
in the consistency statement that there are other accessory buildings that appear to violate the existing code?
We'll get the language in a minute. Does everybody on this body agree with advising council of that issue?
I do.
Yes.
No, ma'am. Setbacks shall mean that we'll come back to that selective enforcement issue in a second. Setbacks shall mean the distance, yada, 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 to provide for runoff control, health, safety, firefighting, free flow of air, and adequate off-street parking, which, of course, is not relevant for the rear setback. So what I would suggest then is...
I would suggest changing the language of 3 and 4 to reflect what the current code is in terms of the language.
Right. Why don't we eliminate 4? Revise 3 to track the setback definition language that I just read.
Okay.
So then we'll add a, so we'll change 5 to 4 and we'll add a new 5. There is a consensus to add this to the consistency statement. So tell me again, Chairman, give me that suggested language again. So
well, I was hoping you could give me the suggested language.
Well,
it's basically the recognition. It's a recognition that there are other accessory buildings in the RA2 district and perhaps other districts that also violate the existing code regarding setbacks.
Every district.
Every district.
Every district, yeah.
So I
the mission acknowledges the existence of non-conforming... Commission acknowledges and wishes to draw council's attention to yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, that's...
Yep. Yep.
And I would simply say that, you know, wishes to draw attention to the fact that there are non-conforming accessory buildings in all the districts that violate the existing setbacks.
Non-conforming accessory buildings in all districts that violate the current setback requirement?
Yes.
That one.
Am I allowed to ask a question?
You just did.
Because non-conforming, doesn't that apply to when the time of the code when that was adopted. So non-conforming issue situations are ones that were in place before.
Cool.
And I think you wanted to, instead of non-conforming, did you want to say in violation?
Ms. Zielinski raises an excellent point because of the ambiguity between your use of non-conforming and the code use of legally non-conforming. Why don't we just say...
In violation.
Commission acknowledges and... draws to council's
attention
that there are accessory buildings in all districts that violate current setback requirements.
Yes.
Now, commission would like to entertain a motion to adopt the consistency statement as amended, then so be it, and I'll work this up and email it to Ms.
Can we also clean up the language that you were going to do on item number 3?
Yeah, I meant this to include that when I used the word amended.
Okay, so that the motion would then change the consistency statement to reflect the language in the existing code.
As amended.
As amended.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, all right. All right, so I'll go ahead and make that motion to accept the consistency statement subject to the amendments that we've just talked about.
Second.
Okay, is there further discussion on this? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Staff has one request. Can we steal 2 copies, one from Ms. Zielinski and myself, of the applicant's handout?
Yes.
This is with that.
Thank you.
I'm not going to sign this then, so.
Yeah, right.
Okay, if I take.
Oh, sure.
Again, I know this is difficult and a process, but you know, we encourage you to go to the council, obviously, I'm sure you will. At the council meeting where this is being presented, you know, I'll go ahead and present the discussion and the vote of the commission here. And obviously, you know, they're their own body, so they can certainly decide what they want to do. Okay?
I think putting in this statement about, like you said, the other buildings is.
I think it's important.
We need to. Yeah.
Okay, member items. Are there any member items?
Not this time.
Nope. Okay. So we're scheduled for our March meeting when?
March the 6th. I'm going to bring
up. Oh, that's spring break for me.
I was going to see if we can move it to the 13th. I'll be in Ohio that week.
I would prefer that. I'm a spring break.
I was going to say, we're in Ohio. We can go with it, too.
I'll be in Columbus, Ohio.
Never mind.
Okay. Exactly. It won't be fun.
On the 6th or the 13th?
On the 6th.
Okay. So it sounds like there's interest in moving their March meeting to the 13th. Is that it?
That's okay. Tuesday. That's a meeting for y'all. Yeah. Just a week.
Oh, that's a Tuesday?
That's a Tuesday.
Oh, how about the 14th?
Excuse me.
Whatever.
Wrong month.
Wrong month. Okay. We have the wrong month here.
No, March 13th is still a Tuesday.
Okay, so it'll be March 14th, which is.
I have a conflict on the 14th.
You have a what?
I have a conflict on the 14th.
Okay. I can't do Tuesday. I teach Tuesday nights, but I could do any other night.
Do the 15th?
I could do 15th.
I'm clean.
The Ides of March.
Beware.
Okay. Is 15th okay with you? Okay. All right, so I don't think we need a motion. We do need a motion.
To change meeting.
Yeah, so we need a motion to change the meeting.
Change next meeting to March 15th.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, there's a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, very good. And so that will be published then, right? Okay. Any other member items? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye. 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 We did it under an hour, so. This what? Oh, yes. These are, I got it.